Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt, and we are continuing our theme this week about recognizing the beast of Revelation, whose number is 666. This is very important because John tells us in his epistle, 1 John in the New Testament, that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the earth. I hope you have listened to yesterday's podcast where I talked about five characteristics of the Antichrist, which is the same person as the beast. John, who is the same author, uses the word Antichrist in his first epistle, 1 John. He uses the word beast in chapter 13 of Revelation, referring to the same individual. And Paul refers to the same individual in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he calls him the man of lawlessness. And so be sure and go back and listen to yesterday's podcast to get caught up on that. And it will help you provide a basis for what we're going to talk about today, tomorrow, and the rest of the week. Now, today we're going to be looking at the historical, but you know, there, and we may not get to that till tomorrow, about how 666 has been interpreted and applied and misapplied throughout history. But first today, I want to deal with this name, Antichrist, which I mentioned right at the end of yesterday's podcast. Because you see, in English, we think of the word anti as meaning, as just having a meaning against. But in the Greek language, the word anti, it means, first of all, the first definition given in the Greek lexicons is instead of or in place of. In other words, this individual is asserting himself in place of and instead of the true Christ. Now, here's something that we need to understand. The word Christ is from the Greek word Christos, and it is the Greek counterpart for the Hebrew Messiah. So when you're reading the New Testament, everywhere you see the word Christ, you can substitute the word Messiah, which is actually more accurate and will give you a better picture of what the writer is talking about. So everywhere it says Jesus Christ, it's Jesus Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, as they would say in Hebrew. And so the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament and that the Jews of the first century were looking for was a king, a ruler, God's appointed ruler, the Messiah, the one God had appointed to rule and reign in the earth. Let me just read you a few Old Testament passages. This is important because this will help you understand where this Antichrist, this anti-Messiah, the one who is going to take the place of the true Messiah. He's a false Messiah. This will help you understand the writings in the New Testament about this subject. For example, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born. This was written about 600 years before the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. So the coming Messiah is God's appointed ruler and king. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. By the way, both of these passages that I have just read, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, and Micah 5 and 2, speak of the deity of the coming Messiah. For example, the one I read in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it goes on, and I didn't read this part, but it goes on and says, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So these Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah have within them the idea, the concept of the Messiah's deity, of his godhood. And then the one I just read about the Messiah being born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. In other words, his beginning will not be in Bethlehem. His goings forth are from of old, but he's going to come out of Bethlehem. Wow. Oh, the Messiah has come. And you see, he came the first time, born as a humble babe in a manger, in a stable. He came to die on the cross for the sins of the world. But then he arose from the dead. He ascended on high, and he sent us forth to proclaim his triumphant victory over Satan and sin, and over all the powers of the enemy, and to proclaim his lordship, to proclaim that he is the Messiah. He is the one that God has appointed to rule and reign over the earth. And he is inviting people to come voluntarily. You know, I volunteered. I joined the U.S. Army in 1966. But before I joined, I got drafted. In other words, I was going to be forced into the Army. And in that time, during the Vietnam era, there was a draft. And people were being involuntarily coerced into the armed forces. Now, God at this time is not coercing and forcing anyone. His army today is a voluntary one. And he's inviting all to come and submit yourselves to this Messiah King, who is seated now at the right hand of God with all power in heaven and earth. And he's going to be coming back again. And the next time he comes, he's not coming as a little babe, a little harmless babe in a stable, in a manger. No, he's coming back in triumphant power and glory. And the Bible says that people are going to run in fear and cry out to the mountains, hide, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb, because he's coming back the next time in all of his triumphant and power and glory. But right now he's inviting people. His grace is being poured out, and he's inviting all these human rebels to come and lay down their hostilities and bow before him and recognize him as the Lord, as the Messiah. Here's a couple other Old Testament passages of the coming Messiah. The kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. His anointed is his Messiah, the one he has chosen. And the kings of the earth, they're saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Now here's what God said. Yet I have set my king on the holy hill of Zion. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. And so all of these Old Testament prophecies speak of the coming Messiah. Now, here's, understand this. This is why the first century Jews, for the most part, not all of them, because all of the 12 apostles were Jews, the earliest Christians were Jews. But the Jewish nation rejected him. Many people rejected him. Why? Because he did not fit these Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah being this mighty, triumphant king, God's appointed Messiah. Yes, those passages will yet be fulfilled. But there were other passages also in Isaiah, like Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, where it talks about a suffering Messiah upon whom would be laid our sins and our iniquities would be laid upon him. And that he would be bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace would be upon him, and by his wounds we would be healed. Yes, he came the first time as the humble suffering Messiah, dying on the cross, suffering in our place. And when he had fulfilled all of this, God raised him from the dead, and he's seated at the right hand of God today with all power in heaven and earth, and he's coming back again. But just before he makes his appearance, this spirit of Antichrist, this messianic complex that is rampant in the world today, it's raising its ugly head right here in the United States of America and in your country too, where there are these individuals, these people who believe that they are the ones who ought to be calling the shots. They are the ones who should be controlling our lives. This is that messianic complex. This is that spirit of the Antichrist. And remember, the word Antichrist means in place of. And the word Christ is the word for Messiah, instead of in place of God's Messiah will be this individual. Wow. And my friends, these people with a messianic complex who want to control every part of our lives. We saw it, man. We saw it come forth in the COVID lockdowns. Many here in the United States, and I'm sure you experience this in Ireland, Uganda, and other countries, many local officials, mayors of cities, governors of states, they relished the newfound power they found in the name of safety. We're going to protect you. And so we're going to put these draconian mandates and laws upon you. And they seem to relish telling people where they could go and what they could do and what they couldn't do, and closing down people's businesses and destroying people's lives. My friends, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Oh, may God help us in this hour to be strong, to be courageous, because God, the spirit of Antichrist is at work in the world. But I'll leave you with this scripture. The same John who's writing about the spirit of Antichrist being in the world today, the same John in the very same chapter, chapter 4, verse 4. In fact, it was in chapter 4, verse 3, that Paul said, "And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is already in the world." But in the very next verse, he said, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Did you get that? I'm closing with this, but this is so very powerful. John put these right together. Listen to this. Verses 3 and 4. And he wasn't writing in chapters and verse divisions. He says, verse 3, "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Who have they overcome? You've overcome this spirit of the Antichrist. My friends, when you recognize the spirit of the Antichrist, you and I will overcome that spirit, because greater is he who is in us than the one who is in the world. I'm Eddie Hyatt. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. And don't forget that the greater one lives in you. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And we're going to continue this series tomorrow. God bless you.